Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio.
About a talent that is directly linked to this child's pituitary gland, undeveloped pituitary gland. What happens when she becomes adolescent and that sleeping gland wakes and becomes for 20 months the most powerful force in the human body? Suppose we have a child here who someday is capable of creating a nuclear explosion simply by the power of her will, who has within her, lying dormant at present, power someday to crack the very planet in two like a china plate in a shooting gallery.
All right, everybody, welcome. Welcome to Firestarter Radio. It is August 21st, and wow, it's flying by. I know everybody says that, but damn, wow. August has been very interesting so far, and it is the dog days of summer. They usually like to kick off a lot of mayhem and tension in the streets when things are nice and hot and everyone's agitated, and you know, it's just a really good time to get the goyim fighting amongst each other and take the real heat off of the ones who should be in the volcano. So yes, tonight I am here for 2 hours. I think I'm going to be doing it on my own. If I lose steam at the end, I'll call in Kyle to save me from drowning. But I got some pretty good sleep last night. Been feeling a little bit like I've got a cold coming on, but like it comes and goes, and I have been taking good care of myself so as to not allow myself to get sick. So hopefully I'll just keep on pushing through this crappy feeling. I don't know if it had anything to do with the eclipse and all of this weird stuff going on, but today I just felt really strange. So in other news, my Twitter page has been showed for I guess this would be the third time. And it was weird. They actually didn't give me a reason. Usually they'll say, you said the word kike. You said the word faggot. And we just can't handle that. And, you know, they'll usually give me either the option to delete the tweet or, you know, they'll at least tell me, you know, this is why you were suspended. But I didn't even know. It's weird. When I log in on my phone, I can still see people's messages for the most part. I just can't reply. And I don't know how I'm going to start a new Twitter page because I don't know. I tried doing it with Google Voice and it just didn't work. So I don't know. I honestly don't feel like going and spending money to get a track phone. It's just at this point, I'm just like, screw it. I don't even care because I'm shadow banned on there anyways. The freaking pictures of my food that I post, they say, oh, warning, this is offensive content, you know, wow. So, yeah, screw Twitter. In conclusion, screw Twitter. Although, for any of the ladies in the chat on Twitter, I want to try and make another chat on maybe Discord or Skype or I think there's some other service as well because I really did enjoy that chat and I don't want to lose contact with any of you. So if anybody wants to email me or get in touch with me for that, my email is msinead21@yahoo.com. And you can get in touch with me there or on the contact form of heathenwomen.com. I haven't forgotten about you ladies. I'm sorry that I haven't really been able to get directly in touch with you because I have to be on Twitter to message you all. And they're shutting me down. So yeah. That's where my Twitter went. It's in Showa Land. I also wanted to let you guys know, there's just a few things before we get to the content of tonight's show, which is going to be a lot of interesting Russian connections, as we have been talking about for several weeks now, because it is of the utmost importance. All right, tinctures, guys. I am selling tinctures again. I have made a new batch of yarrow flower, Vitex, also known as chaseberry, and cat's claw. So those will be ready in about 2 or 3 weeks. I also have red raspberry leaf. These are all currently ready. Red raspberry leaf, yarrow, elderberry, Vitex, burdock root, cat's claw, elderberry, and I believe that's it. Oh, and skullcap. So I might get to the herb of the week this week. You know, sometimes we don't have time for that. More important things to get to. But if you're interested in herbal tinctures, you know, just get in touch with me. I can go over what all of them are used for, because obviously they're not all used for the same thing. And if you're interested, let me know. I might build a little shop called Heathen Herbs. I just haven't really gotten to it yet, but it's something that I really love. And I want to get back into it. I love helping people. So hit me up if you want some herbal medicine. And no, unfortunately, it's not cannabis tinctures. I wish it was, but it's not. one day it'll be legal here. Okay. So that's it for housekeeping stuff. We are getting started on the documentary. Kyle recorded a rough voiceover for me today so I can start getting clips in order. And we decided that we're going to do it in about 20-minute installations. So basically, part one is going to be the history of opium, the opium trade, and the use of opium throughout history, which is very interesting, and it ties so much, not completely, but so much of this is tied directly to warfare, and I think it's very interesting. And warfare, I mean, in more ways than one. Not that wars are being fought over opium, but opium was used to help soldiers, you know, like say they had to amputate their leg or something, or say the soldiers aren't sleeping at night because everyone's moaning in pain. Well, give them some morphine or give them some opium and they can do the surgery without pain, and the soldiers sleep at night and they perform better. And there you go. So it's very interesting. And again, I know there's people out there such as Titus who are chronic pain sufferers who, you know, think that this is some kind of grand scheme to take away their pain pills or, you know, no, that I don't, we don't really have that control in the first place, but we want to show how it's being weaponized. I never think that any person should suffer, but I really think that it's important to get to the bottom of things and heal and not just say that, oh, well, this is the way it's going to be. I'm going to be in chronic pain for the rest of my life, because that's not normal. And there's always a way for your body to heal. So I encourage you out there, if you are needing to use some of these things for chronic pain, I really encourage you to find out why you are in chronic pain. And if it's some kind of weird autoimmune thing, it's probably vaccine damage, but there are a lot of things you can do to help your body bounce back. Maybe not completely, but our bodies are very powerful and resilient. So I encourage you to try to heal instead of just putting a Band-Aid on the issue. But again, I don't know really much about these people's situations, so don't get all mad at me. I'm just trying to be helpful. So tonight, guys, tonight, I figured we would get into a little bit of some Russian connections here. First with Lana Lakhtev, or L'Chaim Lana, as I like to call her. And then we'll get into Vlad Putin, and I've been told that it's very un-Russian to say the whole name like Vladimir. They never say that. They say Vlad. So I'm going to be totally Russian and just start calling him Vlad. But, okay, so the first article I wanted to go over with you guys is called The Women Behind the Alt-Right. And when they say women, they mean like three. Lana, Tara, and who else? I don't know. Waifu with a porpoise? I guess that's the third. And, yeah, apparently they represent us all and stuff. So, okay, they have this really creepy picture of Lana. She looks extremely reptilian. I don't know. Like, it's weird. She looks very uptight. She's wearing this really tight, weird shirt that is giving the illusion that it's see-through, but it's not, and it's just weird. It's like, I'm in virgin white. Look at me with my little blue door and blue shutters behind me. I'm like a Stepford wife. It's just really funny. Now in her bio, she's like, wife of a Viking, mother, and creator of alt-right media. And I just think it's so funny that she loves to tat around that she's a mother all of a sudden when apparently she had two children already. So I don't know why, you know, after this baby, all of a sudden she's like going to put it on her resume. Oh, I'm a mother now. I don't know. I mean, I've been told that I can't have an opinion until I have four more children. So maybe, I don't know, maybe she like made enough tally marks in the waifu point counter. So she gets to claim that she's a mother now. I don't know. I honestly think it's all bullshit. I would not be surprised if that baby was birthed by a surrogate or something, because not once did she ever look pregnant. When she was wearing the baby in that video with Henrik, where they're talking about the extraordinary hack. I love how he calls it extraordinary. Yeah, you guys clearly hacked your own frickin' website. We're not retarded. Well, most of your followers are, but it's pretty obvious that your Twitters never went down. Your YouTube never went down, but your website apparently got hacked. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now they apparently need money to go to court or something. I haven't had time to watch. I can't even watch. But the brief moment that I did watch of her with the proof of the baby, obviously, clearly a newborn baby. We can all see that. However, her body language and his body language was very strange. I know when I first had my son, sorry, I dropped my pen. And especially even if I was wearing him on my chest, my hands would be constantly touching him. I'd be smelling his head. I mean, like, I still to this day can't stop kissing him. I'm like, oh, I just love you. You're so cute. Like, come here, give me a hug. Like, I kiss him so much because I just love him. And that newborn baby smell of their heads, like, my nose was just attached to my son's head because it was just the best smell ever. And she was just, it was almost as if she was wearing the baby as a shield. And it was just very, very strange. I don't think she touched the baby like once. It was really weird. I just didn't get the vibe that that was their real child, but you know, whatever. It's just hard. It's hard for me to trust anything they say, but yeah, even if she did have a baby, doesn't automatically make them trustworthy people. So let's just put that out there. But to get to this article here, the women behind the alt-right from NPR. So, yes, we have Lana Lochteff pictured looking very reptilian and looking very uptight. I was trying to explain it to Kyle the other night, and he got what I was trying to say. It's almost as if she's the warden of the waifu prison or something, or she's, like, she's the handmaid's, you know, matronly mother who would like totally hold down her 12-year-old daughter while she's raped, you know? Like, that's the kind of vibe I'm getting here. Stepford Wives, I always want to say Shield Maiden's Tale. Handmaid's Tale. And yeah, that's the kind of vibe I'm getting. So last weekend, this is the article now. Last weekend, when white nationalists descended on Charlottesville to protest, it was clear that almost exclusively white young males comprised the so-called alt-right movement. There were women, but very few. Well, this is me now, probably because women were banned from coming to the event. And also because, well, the alt-right repels actual women who don't hate themselves, and it's probably the antithesis to anything a woman would want to be involved in. It's probably the number one thing that will repel women that don't hate themselves are, like, Cheeto finger, Mountain Dew drinking, milk drinking, stinky basement dwelling neckbeards with Pepe shirts and Trump hats. I know you can all, you're all getting the visual right now, and it's scary. It gives me nightmares. Okay. So where were the white women? NPR is basically saying, where are the white women at? So where were the white women who weren't out protesting in the streets? For the most part, journalist Seward Darby discovered they're online. No, they're locked in the basement because they're not allowed to have an opinion. Well, that's coming. That's coming with their little Sharia. Okay. For the most part, oh, sorry, I already read that. Okay. It wasn't easy seeking out the women of the alt-right, Darby tells NPR's Lulu Garcia Navarro. These names. I spent a lot of time in the underbelly of the internet, Twitter, YouTube, Reddit, 4chan, places like that, digging up contact information. Darby dives into the motivations behind the alt-right female alliance in her cover story for the latest issue of Harper's Magazine, Rise of the Valkyries. Yeah, this Harper's thing, I browsed through it. it really triggered me that they're using, you know, Germanic symbolism to describe these Bolshevik Jews. I get a little triggered over that. Can you Jews stop appropriating German culture? That'd be great. Okay, thanks. She began her reporting around the time anti-Trump activists were organizing January's Women March, when she wondered, what do women who aren't in the resistance think about what's happening? Many of these women came into the alt-right initially as anti-feminists. They were people who felt that the feminist progressive agenda was not serving them. In some cases, they felt like it was actively disregarding them because they wanted more traditional things, home, family, etc. Oh, it's so annoying that they call these things traditional. It's just normal. It's just normal. It's freaking normal. Okay. And they came into the movement through that channel and then ultimately adopted more pro-white and white nationalist views. Okay. One of these women was Lana Loktev, a Russian-American. This is something that I find really interesting. When did this woman ever live in Russia? Why is she always being called a Russian-American? Do I call myself an Irish-American, a German-American? What is this emphasis with her being Russian all the time? I think she wants to basically exclude herself from the Western women collective blaming. That's what I think. And you're a fucking Jew. We know that. Okay. Yes, so Lana Loktev, a Russian-American from Oregon who co-runs Red Ice, an alt-right media company with her Swedish husband, Henrik Palmgren. The couple decided to make their cause around, they decided to make this their cause around 2012, Darby says, when they say they saw a lot of, quote, anti-white sentiment. No, you guys saw a lot of dollar signs and your frickin' shills, and your handlers basically told you, oh yeah, we're gonna change assignments, so instead of being like the alien conspiracy people, now you're gonna have to pretend to be pro-white so you can lead all these people to Bolshevism and to their death. Thank you. Thanks, Lana. Thanks, Henrik. You know, you guys really did so much to help our people. Oh, those camps will be nice for you. You know, you can still have your clothing line in the camps. And you know what, Lana? You'll actually have to sew it yourself. You'll actually have to, like, do some work. Because work makes you free. Okay? I'm just kidding. It's just a meme that we're going to throw you guys in camps. Just a meme. All right. So, let's see here. Around the time of several high-profile police shootings of young black men, Loktev, quote, felt that Black Lives Matter and these other reactive forces were being unfair to white people, and then that sort of spun into a conspiracy about how the establishment, so to speak, is out to oppress, minimize, and silence white people. So I think this is interesting. I remember when this Dylann Roof psyop first happened. Okay. Lana and Henrik were going to do a whole documentary. They even came out with a trailer. Basically, they were going to do a documentary exposing this psyop, which this back then, I still thought they were on our side. And I thought, thank you. Gosh, someone's going to do it. Like, it's so friggin' obvious. And it's so important that the pro-white movement know that this is a psyop because this is a Jewish narrative. This is a demonization psyop. And we should never play into this. We have to expose this and we have to shed light on it and not play along and follow their narratives. Then all of a sudden, it was like, oh, it's going to take too much time to make it, so we're just going to move on to something else, even though they had promoted it. And of course, no one ever freaking asked them again because everyone's retarded and has the attention span of like 5 seconds. So they didn't even remember. They probably even like donated money or something and just never got made. I just thought that was very telling. It's almost as if whoever is handling them said, oh, you know what? Actually, that's not going to work. We're going to need you to shill harder. Okay. We're going to need you to just go full shill to the wall. Just go full shill. And they did. Yes, they did. Loktev, who promotes alt-right ideologies on the couple's YouTube channel, has been persistently trolled by the men of the movement. Darby wanted to understand what attracts women to a movement that is often hostile to them. In her piece, she quotes Andrew Anglin, who runs the now blacklisted neo-Nazi website, The Daily Stormer, as saying, the white woman's womb, quote, belongs to the males of society. I love how, not that I would even agree that anyone's womb belongs to anybody else, but it's like, our women are for our men, not for the males of society. White women are for white men. And you know what? Some of them don't want to be with a man, and so what? God. It's freaking ridiculous. Yeah, okay. So yes, the white woman's womb belongs to the males of society. And alt-right pioneer Richard Spencer, who acknowledges that women make up a small percentage of the movement, which he's totally cool with, less competition, believes women are not suited for some roles in government. Dickie, you're not suited for fucking manhood. You're a faggot. You're suited for a volcano. And that's about it. God, how can anybody listen to this lisping faggot and be like, he's our guy. I love that guy. He was on CNN. Everybody knows who he is. He sounds like a fag. He throws up commie fists all the time. He loves Alexander Dugin. Says the alt-right is analogous to the Bolsheviks. Yeah, it's really, really awesome. Okay, so let's see here. Yeah, he said, Richard Spencer said in Mother Jones, quote, women should never be allowed to make foreign policy. Hey, Dickie, I think Jews should never be allowed in our countries ever again.
Okay, that's what I think. And you know what I find really funny? I keep telling this to people that I you know, interact with that don't really know a lot about this. I actually got together with a quote-unquote normie friend over the weekend. And honestly, she was way more open to the things that I had to say than most freaking alt-right people I've ever talked to. And she's accepting of me, which is very interesting. But where was I going with this? I don't know. Oh, just about how everybody knows who Richard Spencer is. And it's so funny for me to talk to people and say, like, you know, yeah, I that guy hates me and I hate him. And you know what? I was the only one that ever gave him a hard question, ever. All of his interviews are just softball interviews. Oh, Dickie, tell us about this. Oh, my God, you're so funny. Oh, you think we should act like niggers? Oh, yeah, remember when he said that? I think white people should act like niggers. Yeah, that's, oh, really great. Of course you do, because you're a Bolshevik. Yeah, so no one ever asked him a hard question, except for me. And I got so much shit for it. I was like, why are you having gay men who hate women lecture young European men about masculinity? And he was like, I had a gay teacher once and blah, blah, blah. No. You got caught, Dickie. You're done. You're done. We've exposed you so many times. And that's why my Twitter had to be showed. Because that tweet of you saying, and this is all shit that's out there that you've said that your dumb followers have heard you say, but they don't connect the dots. Well, we are. The dots are out there. And that's why my Twitter got shut down for that tweet, most likely. And that's why SpencerGate.wordpress has been shut down and their Twitter was suspended. You're done. You're done. It's just a matter of the dumbass white people waking up to this, even though we've been trying to shake them awake to this for several years now. I do see some progress, though. You know, there are a lot of people who said they used to freaking hate my guts, and now they're posting my stuff on freaking YouTube because they see that I was right. And that's the thing. This is so not about me as a person, Sinead. This is about the truth. And if I can be a conduit for the truth, I don't give a shit about if people like me or not. And that's something that I find very freeing because I used to really, really care. Now, obviously, people that I care about and have a closer relationship with, of course I care if they're upset with me because I take it as a reflection that I'm not doing my job as a partner, as a friend. So that's different. But these random people on the internet that I'll never meet that, like, I don't know your name. You're freaking weird cartoon character number 6, you know? Like, oh, you don't like me. Oh, I'm not going to lose any sleep over that. Am I saying the truth or not? Oh, I am. Okay, so whether or not you like me or not is irrelevant. It does not matter. And I know people say that I'm abrasive. I get it. I just, I don't really have the patience or the finesse, I guess, for lack of a better term, to slowly kind of explain all of this stuff at an entry level over and over and over again, because that's just not what I'm here to do. So you might not like my tactics, but I am desperate. So when desperation comes knocking at my door, I'm going to go with it. I'm just going to see if I can accomplish what I want to. So back to this article here, and we are coming upon a break, so I'll probably have to finish it up on the other side. But yeah, Got a lot more coming. According to Lochteff and other alt-right women allies she spoke to, Darby says, quote, "It's not that men who support the alt-right don't like women. It's that they see women as fundamentally different than men." I love these freaking vague, really general statements that don't really answer a question. It's like, well, they don't hate women. They just think they're different. It's like, who out there honestly thinks that women and men aren't different? Even the stupid brainwashed people, like, at the end of the day, they'll know that a woman is more apt to do this and a man's more apt to do that. This is not about men thinking women are different. This is about men being indoctrinated and young males indoctrinated through the alt-right, through Eurasianism, through Bolshevism, anti-white genocide. They're being indoctrinated to hate us, to think that we're lesser than them, to think that we need to be put back into a box, that we've actually opened Pandora's box and we've invited in all of this chaos and madness and rape and, oh, we've invited in all of these rapists to come brutally rape us and kill us because that's totally what gets us off. So that's what the alt-right is teaching. Not that men and women are different. It's that we suck. Men are better. We need to be put in our place. That's what it is. Don't try and beat around the bush. All right. Oh, yeah. So they're just different with equally important roles, which are, quote, to perpetuate white bloodlines, to nurture family units, to inoculate those families with pro-white beliefs. Again, the woman is relegated to breeder and rearer, and that's about it. Okay, so I'm really sick of this. I obviously have a child, but see, it's not even enough for them. It'll never be enough. You only have one. That's it. Well, you only have 10. Well, you're nothing. No, never, ever, ever play into their shit. Never have a child because some neckbeard made you feel like shit because you didn't have one. Okay. Children aren't a freaking hobby. They're not a trophy. They're not a notch on your belt. They're not a showpiece. They're sentient beings who deserve the best life possible and should not be brought into this world carelessly and just to gain some more points amongst your social groups. No. And again, this is not a freaking breeding war, you morons. You can't outbreed a genocide. Holy sh! Oh my god. Okay, I'm not gonna get worked up. It's the first half hour and I'm already yelling. Oh, there's my break. Okay, I'll be back. I'm gonna calm down. I'm gonna do some deep breaths. Alright, see you guys on the other side.
In the corner, fill the order for a spell and a hit list. Fight the system. Enjoy the pain, it's yours. If you're a wild girl, you'll run away. If fear, you're getting older. We are relying on you and your emotion. And as you go, promise of being right. Where did you go, my dear? Don't slip away now. It's going slow and clear, but you're alive now. Don't be alone, the news is mediocre.
I'm really tired of hearing all about Jews and their beloved Israel. This is America.
Hey, don't say that. Jews do so much for us and deserve our thanks.
Okay, so what do they do?
Although they are only 2% of the population, they are running our banks and overall monetary system, ensuring our children receive proper education and medication, entertaining us with TV, movies, magazines, and gossip, running some of our biggest corporations, including the big tech giants, weeding out awful hate speech, and promoting the rainbow of alternative lifestyles and gender identities, and funding the campaigns of our honorable and honest politicians.
Wow, they sure do a lot.
That's right. Don't be an anti-Semite. Let the chosen rulers of this world know you appreciate them.
Thanks, Jews!
Caught up in a dream, in a technicolor bee. Give me one drop, I can feel you. Make me lose control. We be walking on the water. We're moving in a technicolor beat. Moving in a technicolor. Jump into the heat. Spinning on our feet. In a technicolor beat. You and me. Caught up in a dream. In a technicolor beat. To the heat.
Welcome back to Firestarter Radio on Renegade Broadcasting. We are officially in the second hour, and I wanted to make a quick tangent because I was reminded of something that I saw out of the corner of my eye during the break. I have been noticing, I still buy baby wipes. My son's potty trained, but I get them, you know, for like messy hands in the car, and we just need wipes as parents. Like they just come in very handy. So I buy these seventh generation, you know, all natural ones. And I've noticed that in the diaper section and wipe section, there are like no white babies on the covers of these things anymore. It's insane. I've not seen one white baby on this seventh generation brand wipes. There's a black baby on the front. And of course they're babies. Like, I think they're all cute. Obviously I'm going to think the white one's the cutest because it looks the most like my kind of, my people. But, you know, it's like, that is such psychological warfare in our own countries. Our demographics, well, I guess you can say that the demographics are being represented because it appears we are a minority, but what our country should be, white, is not being represented in our products whatsoever. I mean, there was every other color baby under the sun there. Asian, Hispanic, black, dark black, light black, mulatto, and like no white babies. So it just really triggers me. Like even just looking at these baby wipes, you know, I'm not going to get angry at a baby of another race, be like, God damn it, baby, you're ruining my life. But it's just it's a reminder everywhere. You know, you're getting phased out. You're not needed anymore. You know, we don't even need to market to you anymore. You're not even a target of our marketing. So, but we are a target of their marketing because all of this mind control and anti-white propaganda is the same thing as basically a PR company that would sell you Coca-Cola or sell you, I don't know, freaking Venus Razors. You know, those kind of PR companies, those kind of psychos that are sitting at the boardroom on Madison Avenue and doing all that. They're the same people that brought you white genocide, so I think we should all just say collective Jews, 3, 2, 1. Thanks, Jews. I felt you all saying that with me. That was nice. It's kind of like when you go to church. Well, I don't go anymore. I haven't gone since I was a child. My parents made me too. But it's kind of like when everyone says amen together. We're just going to say thanks, Jews. Because they need to know. They really. I still want to do my video where I go walk down the beach or the boardwalk and just ask people if they've thanked Jews yet today. And I was going to wear my I Love Jews shirt and just kind of, you know, have a little microphone and be like, ma'am, have you thanked your local rabbi today? And they'd probably just be like, what? Be like, go do it. You're welcome. You know, and just be really over the top with it. Like, I want you to know everything that the Jews are doing for you. Have you thanked them yet for all that they're doing for us? If you haven't, you're an anti-Semite. And frankly, I think I'm going to call the ADL on you. I just think it would be hilarious. I just think it'd be great. We need to go over the top with this because anything that's critical of them is going to be automatically anti-Semitic. So why don't we just thank them? You know, hey, Rabbi Silverstein or Schillerson, you know, thanks for mutilating that baby. You did it with such style and tradition. Thank you for being trad. Speaking of trad, we can go back to this NPR article and then I'll get to some of this Putin stuff. Maybe we'll touch on the whole Ezra Levant scandal, which in my opinion goes deeper than what we're being shown. So, okay. The growing contradiction, as Darby points out, is that people like Lana Lochteff and other women that I spoke to are outspoken. I might have already said that, sorry. She adds, quote, they sort of see themselves as straddling a line between male and female norms because they think that at this point in their movement, the more people they can bring in, the more people they can convince that they are on the right side of history, the better. And that includes appealing to more women. To recruit women to the movement, Darby says, the key is to stoke fear. I guess that's kind of true. You're gonna freaking go crazy if you don't have 10 million children right now at age 14. Listen to Stell Bell. She's 15 and she's going to tell you how she's going to be a virgin until she gets married. I'm sorry. If that's your plan, that's great. But I'm not going to listen to a 15-year-old who hasn't even freaking lived on their own tell me, like, I have sexual purity. Like, girl, you haven't even lived your life. What if you don't meet your husband until you're 32? You're telling me you're never going to have sex? I mean, if that's
good for you, but it's just ridiculous hearing these 15-year-olds who have never even experienced life, who have never even lived on their own, try to like lecture women about what they should be. It's just hilarious to me. Okay. All right. So asked how she would pitch the alt-right to conservative white women who voted for Trump but are also wary of being labeled a white supremacist, Lochdef told her, quote, "We have a joke in the alt-right. How do you red pill someone?" Oh, you mean like commie red? Like that? Yeah? Commie red pill? Like commie red eyes? Yeah, red pill. That's so cool. That is so freaking cool. You know, using references from movies directed by two Jewish trannies is like implicit whiteness. It's basically implicit whiteness. And, you know, in this time where lobotomy pills are being shoved down everybody's throats because they're thinking wrong thoughts, you know, I think we should carry on with this pill rhetoric because clearly it's healthy. And equating pill taking and pill ingestion with truth is just totally healthy. And I know I cannot see any hook-nosed people, individuals, I won't call them what they are because they don't like that, but I can't see any hook-nosed individuals rubbing their hands to that one whatsoever. So, yeah, red pill, great phrase. Okay, so red pill is their word for converting someone to the cause. Let's call it, never mind, okay. And the punchline was, have them live in a diverse neighborhood for a while, Darby says. She also said that when she is talking to women, she reminds them that white women are under threat from black men, brown men, immigrants, and really uses this concept of a rape scourge to bring them in. Really interesting. So you're telling them that they're going to be raped by all these non-whites, which, well, that's freaking true, because every 15 minutes in this country, a white woman is raped by a black man. And that was like 2001 crime statistics, so I'm sure it's skyrocketed, even with the whole white Hispanic population being grouped in with us, which artificially inflates our numbers. But interesting how she touts white Sharia, but that's not a problem. You can be raped by your own men, okay? So like it's pro-white raping. And most of those guys aren't even white, but they'll just pretend to be white, and we'll accept them in because they talk shit about white women, and we like that. That's seriously what's going on. So what double speak here and what cognitive, well, this is the ellipse here, right? You have the Bolsheviks that are pretending to be right wing or, you know, I guess they are technically right wing Bolsheviks because the left-right paradigm is communism, basically. It's like the illusion of choice, but it's, you know, it's not overtly communism. But it's okay if white guys claim they want to rape you all the time. You're just going to have to live with that because like it's either black guys rape you all the time or white guys who are a little bit nicer about it. Maybe. That's seriously that's the option that's being given here. And that's the cognitive dissonance. It's like, here's your red pill, blue pill. They're both being given to you by a Bolshevik Jew. How about you kick that Bolshevik Jew in the balls or chop off the head, rip out the heart, and get to the source of the matter. You don't want those pills? Kill the person who's offering you pills. How about that? Like, seriously, if Morpheus came up to me and said, yo, Shanik, girl, you want this red pill or this blue pill? I would shoot him and run away. Or maybe just wound him. I don't know. Because that would probably go to jail for, like, 6 million years because he was a brother. And, you know, me racist cracker bitch over here defending myself. We can't have none of that. Mm-mm. Actually, no, I was talking to Kyle about this. Everywhere I've been this week, black people have been overly nice to me. It's almost as if some of them are really trying to smooth things out. It's been weird. I don't know. And the same thing happened around the Trayvon thing when we were actually living in Sanford. It was strange. This one guy was like, top of the morning. Oh, good morning, everybody. Oh, let me hold the door for you. Just being so overly nice. And I just thought it was hilarious. I went with it. I was like, thank you, sir. You have a great day. I love you. No, I didn't say that. I'm just kidding. But I am going to adopt alt-right Aaron as my biracial son that everybody thinks I have and really wants me to have. So Aaron, if you're out there, you my nigga, all right? And you're my adopted biracial son now, okay? I'm probably going to rename you to like Daquan. I want you to have a more like brother-ish name because Aaron, dude, that's Irish. All right. We need you to be like, I don't know. I knew an African kid who was, actually, this was the kid who spit in my mouth in grade school, or eighth grade. His name was Ayodeji Efafore. So you need an African name like that to make it authentic. Have you guys seen this Blacksit thing? Instead of, you know, instead of Brexit, it's Blacksit. And they're basically creating propaganda to encourage black Africans to move back to the motherland. And I honestly support this 100%. I think it's a great idea. And if Black Lives Matter, then they should go freaking help the ones that are like dying and starving and have flies crawling, like buzzing all over their face and children are starving and stuff. That would be cool. And then they could do the farming instead of us and we wouldn't have to give all our stuff to Africans anymore. It would just be a win-win. So Blacksit, all for it. Hashtag Blacksit. All right, let's get to the interview highlights here and then let's move on because I just get too triggered talking about Lana. Okay, interview highlights on how she understands the term alt-right. The answer seems to be different depending on who you ask. Yeah, that's for sure because it's a freaking joke. Because it's not anything. It's a Big Ten, right? So there's no actual unifying. Well, no, wait, sorry, I take that back. The unifying idea is that white women suck and they need to be put in their place. So I guess that would be the one thing everyone can agree on. It's not a formal structured group. Well, no shit. It is more a new term for people who believe in white nationalism, who do not like political correctness, who do not like feminists, who do not like Jewish people, who generally think that liberalism and diversity have led to the decline of Western civilization. Well, I'm definitely not in that group because I don't believe that liberalism and diversity have led to the decline of Western civilization. I think Jews have, and those are symptoms of Jews. So, count me out of that description. She goes, so I would hesitate to call the alt-right a hate group, for instance, but the alt-right does include hate groups. Oh my god. Okay. On being struck by parallels she saw between the 1920s KKK and Nazi Germany versus today and how white supremacists saw the role of women, in the 1920s, which is one of the heydays of the KKK, a woman named Elizabeth Tyler became the head of the group's national propagation department. Pretty sure KKK is deeply embedded with intelligence. I mean, I don't actually have anything on it, but I have heard that, and it would not surprise me seeing that David Duke, CIA boy, was part of that, Grand Dragon or whatever. All right. Actually, I think there were Jews involved too, which is not surprising. It's what a dumb outfit too. Like, really? That's so dumb. Whatever. She managed to boost the membership by something like 85,000 people. She also founded the first women's wing of the movement. She was considered a seminal figure. I love how they're comparing this woman to Lana, but they're probably similar. Okay, so blah, blah, blah. Women, women, women. On how the language of feminism is being used to recruit women. They do sort of occupy an almost feminist-seeming space in the movement. Or some of them do, I should say. The ones who are most outspoken, the ones who are trying to bring more people into the movement. But of course, they would never say that. They would never want to be compared to feminists. They think that feminists have corrupted what women see as their core desires. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, here we go. What alt-right women want. Lochteff is going to speak for all white women now. Because even though they're calling you alt-right, you can't disavow from it. That's the whole point of this label. It's to smear anybody that falls anywhere within that large big tent. You know, even if you explicitly denounce their bullshit crap, no, you'll still be grouped in. So, Lochteff mentioned to me, people moving to D.C., getting involved in government. Okay, that sentence made no sense. And speaking to scholars of right-wing extremism, they said to me, this is very unusual. Excuse me. All right, usually these groups, they're very anti-government. And so I think there's definitely a cohort that sees this movement, thanks to Trump's election, as an opportunity to assert themselves on that level. And I think there are others who want to fight a race war in a much more, I guess, literal way. This is one of the things that's going to be interesting moving forward with the alt-right. Blah, blah, blah. There was some BS in here. I don't know if I missed it, but basically she was saying, like,
women just don't really care about racial issues. So that's why it's only me and my special snowflake waifus, who I usually promote because they're not white, usually Asian. We're the ones that are actually smart and stuff. So, yeah. So sick of it. So fake. These people are so freaking fake. And I don't know what their plans are now. It looks like their site's back up and running. So, I don't know. It drives me crazy that people still take them seriously. But whatevs. All right, moving on. We're going to stay within the Russian realm. And I want to read some. I printed all this out because I wasn't going to have what happened last week happen, where I couldn't even open my tabs to refer to any of this stuff. I was super mad. I was just so fucking exhausted that day. So sorry that I got triggered and took a step away from the microphone like a bad, emotional, hysterical woman. Freaking women. Okay, Putin's crazy laws, guys. Let's do this. This is my friend from Russia, and, you know, he actually lives there, so all of you retards who think that you know everything about Russia, maybe you should just, like, sit back and take note from an actual Russian living there. Just a thought. All right, he says, here's some more on Putin's crazy laws. I haven't checked the news for a while, and what do you know? A couple more crazy-ass laws from the one and only. Duma has allowed officials to hide info on their stolen property. What's funny, they've been going on and on for years about exactly the opposite. How now finally we have those damned officials declaring all of the stuff they have. How this will help us end corruption. And now wham, 180 degree turn. They're so dumb. They couldn't foresee this info will be posted all over the place. And now they want to hide it. As if before no one knew they're fucking thieves anyway. Two. Millions in fines for social networks for not deleting supposed fake news. And of course, you know, these Jews can determine anything they don't like to be fake news. You know, oh, the Talmud is fake news. What? No. I love how they don't even say it's fake. They just say it's a forgery. So, like, of what? Okay. Here's a quote from the article that he translated for me. It's about spreading unreliable, unlawful, and discrediting information in social networks. Oy vey. Three, another Jewish fuck, son of a famous Jewish actor, the legislative body is full of actors and their children, wants to pass a bill for $5 million in fines for spreading lies on social networks. Oy vey. Number four, finding a man for 50,000, whatever money that is. What do they have, ruble? I don't know. For caricatures on Jesus fucking Christ. A quote from the article, insulting the religious feelings of believers. So this is serious. This is law. This is becoming law in Russia. You can't offend Christards. What? I know so many freaking pro-white Christians who would love that. Yes, fucking pagans. They can't remind us that we're retarded all the time now because Putin's gonna throw him in jail. Daddy Trump's gonna throw him in jail for desecrating my Jesus. Alright, Trump. Yeah, he sent me this communist poster, which it literally shows a communist Untermensch grabbing the pussy, and I hate saying that word, but I want you to relate it back to what Daddy Trump said. Grab him by the pussy. That poster, Kyle tweeted it out for me because I'm banned. That poster sums up what grab him by the pussy means. It means mass rape. Remember what happened to our German ancestors? They want that to happen here and in Europe and everywhere. So if you don't want mass rape and you don't want torture and death, I suggest you all start frickin' sounding the alarm. To your neighbors, to anybody. I've considered this. I go to a local kind of nursery hardware area to get stuff for our garden. And I usually go in to get a lot of stuff on clearance, which is usually really good because these plants are going to be thrown away and they just need to a little bit of love and to be planted in the ground, and they do great. So I go in there a lot to see what deals there are. And there's always, you know, a nice young, I'd say teenage, maybe a little bit older, young guy working at the checkout. And
they're always so friendly and they, you know, help me bring my stuff to my car. And I've always just thought, you know, like giving him a Renegade Vids documentary, you know, card. And mind you, I'm really like, I'm in this store all the time, but like, what do I have to lose? You know, like eventually people in my immediate area are going to probably figure out, you know, what I'm all about and all this. So like, what do I have to lose? It's either like stand up in the room and be like, I'm an evil person because I think evil thoughts and, this is me. And then, you know, like the only other option is death. So it's kind of like, you know, like we either win or we don't. So let's win. Let's act like we're going to win. Let's not be so afraid because once we win, like it's all over. But I've been thinking about that. I need to have those business cards on me because I have so many freaking business cards for different things that I do. And, I want to start doing that. Just young people that I see like, hey man, do you like documentaries? You want to watch a free documentary? I used to do that at the local colleges. I'd go hand out Hellstorm things, be like, hey guys, check out free documentary, you know, free. Every college students love free. So if you just say free anything, they'll look into it. And, you know, I had the QR code on there so they could just scan it on their phone and they go boom, right to the website. So I'm thinking about doing that. I just see so many young white youth around and I'm wondering what's going on through their head. And I'm wondering, you know, when I see all these Trump supporters around down here, I'm like, do they know who TRS is? Do they know who I am? You know, I'm always just curious. I want to find out. So I'm going to start doing that. But okay, so here we're going to get into some agents here. And I have a clip. It's out of order. Let me see if I can play a little bit of it. But this is from a full video. I think it was done by I Warn You Before I Eat You, who did the thing on the Maritime Admiralty Law that I played for you guys, that Kyle and I played for you. What was it, last week or 2 weeks ago? So yes, I'm sure you guys have heard of Russian vids out there. I remember looking into a few of his things. He was a definite flat earther. He was pushing a lot of weird theories that, for example, JonBenet Ramsey was Katy Perry, and they make some pretty outrageous claims. So it's, you know, classic disinfo, grouping in, you know, truth with outlandish, ridiculous claims to create, you know, dissociation or discredit the true information that's being put forward. So, you know, obvious tactics there. And I mean, dude's calling himself Russian vids. Like, unfortunately, anybody that's just touting Russia all the time here in this country right now, I'm going to be automatically skeptical of. And it's not because of the Russian people. It's because of the Jews that are predominantly from Russia that are meddling in our affairs, because it appears that they're done with this country. They've pretty much up and left. They're setting up shop in, it looks like Asia and these other places. So, for this Russian vids, he apparently hates on Hitler in his videos, which is, you know, pretty standard for a Jewish shill. He's a big lover of Christ. And his surname ending is Ukrainian. So apparently a Ukrainian Jew, a Russian with the name Benjamin. Really? Really? That's like freaking saying Reuben or Shlomo Lyashenko. Okay, so I want to play just a brief thing here. He finds out this guy's real name, and you can watch the rest of this on Delete the Elite. It has this up, so let me play this clip now. I won't play the whole thing because it's pretty long. He also gets into PK Truth, who appears to be a Ukrainian Jew. I'll get to him later. It doesn't seem like he was pushing as much disinfo. He even was recommending people go watch The Greatest Story Never Told. But then all of a sudden it was like, oh, I can't continue with my channel because I get banned all the time and blah, blah. I do understand that, but it was kind of interesting timing. So let's get into Russian vids. Benjamin Lyashenko, Russian agent, Russian Jew with a Ukrainian last name. So maybe a Ukrainian Jew, but they're just freaking Jews no matter where they are. So here we go.
I got a call after posting my last Russian Vids Exposed video. I got a call from the San Mateo, California Police Department. So I spoke with a guy who said he's Officer Valencia, and I wasn't sure who I was talking to. So I went back and checked the number out, and I verified I was talking to Officer Scott Valencia of San Mateo Police Department. And I called the San Mateo Police Department back at 8:11 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time. So there you go. I talked to Valencia. He told me I was accused of threatening Mr. Liashenko, a.k.a. Russian Vids. So I told Officer Valencia, good luck trying to extradite me from across the country here in Western Massachusetts. And then I hung up the phone because San Mateo Police Department, after looking into this, aren't going to give a fuck about Benjamin's butthurt. And they know they can't touch me. So moving on, just to recap here, Russian Vids accidentally, it looks like, used his legitimate name on his real account to troll my page. So this fucking troglodyte used his real name while trolling me? Was that a mistake, Ben? Are you that stupid? So I go over to Ben's Facebook page, Ben Benjamin. He's posted the same turtle tank videos as he did as Russian Vids on YouTube. There's Dinky. He's a year old now. Well, that's from July 2015. Anyway, these guys tell you right to your face what they're up to. So I sent Benjamin a friend request. And I said, hi, Ben, in Messenger. I wanted to talk to the guy, right? But I was immediately blocked from his profile. When I tried to send him a second message, I got this notice. He's not taking messages anymore. So what's the matter, buddy? He doesn't want to talk. Hey, guess which moron listed all this information in the white pages? Step it up, Mossad. Step it up, CIA. What the fuck is wrong with you? You got your disinfo shills putting their fucking name out there and they're trolling? Hey, look, you got his phone number. That's his address. He's on 120 Prague Street. Benjamin P. Liashenko of 120 Prague Street. You're all done, buddy. Good luck calling the cops on more people that call your home and tell you how much of a fucking piece of shit you are for selling your soul so you can make a living spreading disinformation and fucking with people all day.
All right, so yes, that does go on. I just think it's really funny that these guys are so out in the open. They're so easily exposable, if that's a word, and it really gets me frustrated that more people don't do it because they tell you all the time. They make it so obvious. Now, at least we can see this Russian connection pretty clear now, so we'll be back for the last hour in just a moment.
Rushkoff on why Jews are dangerous.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real. And that's very upsetting to people.
Thank you.
You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
Come, my love, our worlds may part. The gods will guide us across the dark. Come with me and be mine, my love. Stay and break my heart. From the shores to the ancient mists, you bear the mark of my elven kiss. Clear the way, I will take you home to eternal bliss.
We are in the last hour of the show. I was trying to cue up the part of the video where he gets into PK Truth, but I think I pretty much summed up anything that could have been gleaned from that. That he, yes, appears to be a Ukrainian Jew, wasn't shilling as hard as Russian vids. I don't know. Maybe was authentic. Doubt it. You know, Zachary Hubbard is exposed. I mean, we knew from the get-go that he was a Jew, and we were all very wary, but, you know, it's interesting to look at some of the gematria. I totally stopped watching his videos after he was, I forget, there was some obvious hoax that he was saying was real, and I called him out for being such an obvious kike, and, you know, he responded. It's interesting that the kikes always respond when you call them a kike in the... In the comment section, they get so mad. You know, it's like, clearly that triggered you, so you just gave away your true blood there. So, yeah, Russian vids, shill, all of them. And I think it's interesting, though, this was actually done by Polarization Nation Media. So, my mistake about who did this. And I was actually watching a lot of that person's videos last night. I guess it's actually a collective, but he's the one who... does the videos and narrates them and runs the channel, apparently. He calls it the Unified Code Theory Collective or something. They believe that all, you know, that it seems like synchromistic stuff, but he does talk about Jews. I haven't been able to really sink my teeth into it. I don't know if this person is a shill or trustworthy or whatever. He did have some interesting stuff about, you know, numerology and decoding things. However, I don't think that that's necessarily organic. I think that things are coded on purpose, and it's not just like a divine message from the gods or God. I don't really know what this guy's deal is, but he seems to be very against any kind of flat earth research. And I just think it's interesting. I had a thought today about the square or the compass and the, what is the freaking Masonic thing? The compass and what's the other thing? That's terrible that I can't remember it. But one of them measures a flat plane and one of them measures a sphere, right? So I just think that's interesting. Maybe they're playing both sides. Maybe we'll never figure out what the hell we are in. Although I like to think that my senses are not fooling me because I think that sets up a very dissociative person. When you tell them their senses can't be trusted, when you tell them that when they don't feel like they're spinning thousands of miles per hour and they don't see any curvature, you know, telling them that their senses are deceiving them, I think that really starts people off on a bad foot. And I think that's one of the main reasons for such big lies. But I move on. So let's get back to Putin, Vlad. My Russian friend here was saying that there's another way by which Jews constantly mock Russians, the Russian language. Most of the inscriptions, titles, signboards in Jew Hollywood movies that show Russia or supposedly the Russian language are written in gibberish, either total gibberish made up with random letters or just a lot of mistakes in it. As if they don't have good translators. Right. So it appears, obviously, they're doing this on purpose to mock the Russian people who they hate and have exploited for so long.
And aren't we coming up on the 100th anniversary of the Bolshevik Revolution? Interesting, huh? Oh, they totally aren't trying to recreate it again or anything. Yeah, right. Okay, so here's an example of some things. I obviously don't have the pictures to show you guys, but in the Bourne movies, his passport is just a collection of letters. It doesn't actually even say anything. In Foreigner, it says Americanas, but they put caca in there, and we all know caca means poo. All right, Fantastic Four, the ship's title reads Head of the Toe Finger. In the Bond movie, the words on the door are gibberish. Independence Day, the city names are butchered. Obviously, this is not by mistake. Endless list, open in Google Translate. Maybe I'll give a decent translation. Okay, what I mean is, going back to Vladimir Putin's name, everyone calls him Vladimir Putin, like on TV. Too much freaking respect. On the net and in conversation, nobody calls him like that. But Banner reads, Pudler Kaput. Normies who have some brain power to see that he's evil usually call him Pudler. So basically they're, you know, associating him with Hitler. Back in the 90s, he had a nickname, Moth. Little Rattling. Kaputin, Hitler Kaput, Putin being evil Hitler, or Haputin, Hapat, slang for take slash steal, Stasi. Twal etni utinok equals toilet duckling. After, these are some things that he's called, after his statement, we're going to be slaughtering terrorists even in the toilets. I thought that was really funny when he said that. It's like these Jews cannot abstain from toilet talk, even while talking about supposed Chechen terrorists. I think I even included that clip in my Putin pedo video. You know, he's like, we'll find them. Obviously, he's speaking in Russian. We'll find those terrorists in the toilets if we have to. It's just, I remember being a young child and hearing all this talk about Saddam Hussein. And at that point, I already knew it was such a joke. I remember, like, trying to scare my friends that Saddam Hussein was in the oven of their kitchen, or like Saddam Hussein was in the basement, and I just joke around about it because I thought it was such a joke. They're like, oh, we found him in a hole in the ground. Even back then, I just thought, this is such a joke. So I just went along with it. I joked along with them about Saddam Hussein being in the oven. And no, that wasn't any kind of reference to like Jews being burnt in an oven. I even remember hearing about that in first grade. They dropped that traumatic stuff on us. And I remember going home and like looking at the oven. As a young child, you're right at eye level with the oven. So I remember just thinking to myself in the kitchen, like, how could they put people in an oven and just like turn it on while they're still alive? It really messed with me. Every time I'd see the oven in the kitchen, I'd think about Jews. I'd be like, God, that's so sad. They put those Jews in an oven. What a joke. Okay. And then there's a million variations on this toilet thing of his. He actually used the word John there, meaning something like a public toilet, which is very dirty. I think it's interesting that they call public toilets Johns, because that's what they called a man who engages in, or who buys a prostitute, whether that be a little boy or a woman. They usually refer to them as Johns. Okay. All his trolls slash page shills, etc., usually go by Pudlerjugend, Hitler meaning absolute evil, or Vatnik equals quilted jacket stuffed with cotton wool, same applying for their heads full of cotton wool. Okay, also check pictures. Vatnik adores Putin. Hates Obama, Trump, Americans, Ukraine, most of all Ukraine, always high on alcohol, whole meme idea looks like this. Yeah, this Vatnik, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like this weird character that is, it's like a cartoon character. It might be like their version of Pepe, I don't know. And like, pictured in front of a communist flag or something, it's really weird. Yeah, so apparently in this video, he talks about how he loves Victory Day. Loves Crimea is ours. Would like to storm Washington and put a victory flag there. Stuff like that. Stuff, you know, volcano stuff. Stuff that needs to be volcanoed, pretty much. All right, back to Putin's name. In KGB, he was called a butt. Cigarette butt. Later, pale moth. Now, Botox. Yeah, Botox is a big one. I can never say these names. Medvedev is usually called pathetic. It kind of says it all. When something needs to be said of him, which doesn't happen all too often, he's too a Jew, of course. His wife is a Jew as well. I am so shocked. He told me to send this to Andrew Anglin. I don't like to be crude, but they actually have put in Putin anal plugs. Oh my God. It makes me feel dirty saying that, but I just think pretty telling with put in Putin. These guys love their poop jokes. They're seriously, when you picture the people ruling our world right now, picture like 14-year-old retarded, obsessed with poop, like autistic psychopaths that love poop and fart jokes and like raping children. That pretty much sums up what we're dealing with here. They have such a fecophilia. It really just, it is very symbolic of what they are, what their essence is. It's shit. And that's why they love it so much. So I say we just give them what they want and just throw them into a volcano. And they can become, I don't know, they can go off to another place and live in a world full of shit in another realm. Yeah, thank you, Kyle. Oh gosh, yeah, that's it. That's the Putin plug. I'm sorry, I don't like to get, you know, but it just, it showed that Putin butt plug should pretty much sum up any worship of Putin. That's what you're worshiping. You're worshiping a child rapist, faggot, sodomite Jew. Okay. Let's see. Da, 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 da. Okay, I'm just going through my notes here. So, sorry guys, I'm kind of all over the place. Okay, he said here, I actually forgot the punchline of the whole talk about Putin's name. I mentioned his nicknames, but wanted to say this. Here's some better ways of calling him than Vladimir. Vova, standard shortened form, Vova Putin. In most cases, you can call him that, like in Twitter posts, etc. Vovka, it's like, hey, you come here, in this sort of way, like calling a bad child. Vovochka, in a mocking way, like naming a mischievous little boy. So if there's some news of Putin Jewing again, you could call him Vovochka. We have a series of jokes about this mischievous child always getting to no good. His name's Vovochka. It's even mentioned here. I'm going to totally start sounding so cool. All the Russian people are going to be like, she's so cool. She's totally a cool American. Based American over here. Okay, and then there's Vovan. It's like a criminal boss nickname, Vovan from the Kremlin. And in Russian, we don't have diphthongs like in English, so it's only one sound when there's O or A. O sounds like gone or ma, just ah. A sounds like dumb or son, just uh. And Putin isn't like Putin. You isn't like Zhu or you. One sound like in hook or foot, and you usually say Putin. I can't do it. The I is dropped, so it's like Putin. Oh, okay, so he's saying that I'm saying it wrong because I say Putin, but it's they don't drop their N's. So Putin. It's kind of like Putinya. Putinyi. I don't know. I'm not Russian, but he's trying. He's trying to help me. I appreciate that. I've actually been immersing myself and my son in Gaelic and Spanish because he is at the age right now where the door is wide open for languages. So I just want to expose him to as many languages as possible, not overwhelm him, but we've been learning a little bit of Gaelic and learning a little bit of Spanish. Well, Spanish was easier for me. I used to be not fluent, but I could read Spanish books and things like that. I could speak a little bit. It's the conjugations that really get me tripped up, but it's just a good thing to be able to speak more than one language, and that's something that I really hated about being American. All of my Irish cousins spoke like two or three languages. I mean, in Europe, it's very common. Most of them all speak English, but they speak usually more than one language, so I feel that the American education really failed us in that regard, but good thing my son's not going to an indoctrination center. He will get to learn the truth about things, or at least ask questions, and he won't be you know, chastised for doing that. We actually, I got a bunch of books at the library today for our learning time, and we got one on volcanoes. Got a huge book on volcanoes, and we already went through it. It's pretty exciting. It shows them exploding in the magma. My son really likes them. He made a sound effect for the magma. It goes like this. It goes, so that's what the magma does. And pretty excited to start really learning about volcanoes. They even have underwater ones. Pretty amazing. Okay, so yes, that I believe is pretty much it for Putin. And he is a pedo. So yeah, glad we've established that. Now, since I have some time left over, I wanted to briefly, I have a lot of time left over, so I don't have to briefly, but I just don't want to talk about this for too long, because I don't even trust this little faggy guy in makeup, what he's telling me. And what I'm talking about is Ezra Levant's rebel media is imploding amidst multiple scandals. Now, this is an article by Kyle that's up on the Renegade Tribune. I encourage you to check it out. Just a nice little recap of everything. Now, this guy, this apparent journalist who is literally wearing more makeup than I wear ever. It looks very gay, but whatever. What's his name? Cowlin or something? He apparently was doing some kind of editing or something for Rebel Media, and there's this big scandal. I can read some of the article here. But at the end of the day, I feel that this is a way to phase out one of their agents, Ezra Levant, who's not needed anymore, and to basically give credibility to Lauren Southern and to possibly Tommy Robinson. I don't know if he's even still with the Rebel. But to basically make them less obvious. Now, it appears that Lauren Southern did take the hush money because she's never commented on, or if it's even a real feud. You know, I just don't trust this whole Jews fighting Jews thing. Like Mike Enoch sending that private message to Laura Loomer being like, don't dox my mom, you're putting her in danger. I mean, really, I don't believe these Jews are actually fighting amongst each other. But maybe I'm wrong. So if you haven't heard about this, I'll do a quick recap since we have some time. But yeah, I'll get into some more of my theories when I'm sparked during the article here, because I'm sure something will remind me. Okay. Ezra Levant started the Rebel Media in 2015 after the collapse of Sun News Network in Canada, where he had been a host. Avoiding the failed model of its predecessor, Ezra focused on crowdfunding the network. Oh, he loved his crowdfunding, which worked rather well. While he also courted some wealthy backers, Ezra put a high priority on donation drives for a wide variety of causes. With new domain names and petitions being promoted in rapid succession. Often the money raised would far exceed the desired amount, but none of the employees really knew where it was all going. It was going for Ezra's cocaine habit and love of boys, most likely. Just call me crazy, I'm just assuming, because that's usually their MO. Okay, real quick, tangent. The way that Ezra talks in these apparently secret recordings... sounds very much like the pace and the sound of Brian Rue's voice. Maybe there's a Canadian Jew like voice, because that's what it sounds like to me. Okay. Let's see. According to the testimony of former Rebel reporter Colin Robertson. And honestly, anytime I see a hoax story, Sun is always in the name. That's something that I've noticed. Now, Robertson, he might just be a Jew. I don't know. Or Robertson, that might not be a Jewish name. But Cowlin? I don't know. Maybe I'm reading into it too much. But it looks like we have Milo 2.0 down here. And his name is Cowlin. So, you know, just interesting. So he apparently left the network 2 weeks ago. Ezra Levant actually fired Lauren Southern after she refused to make a video requesting more donations for the Rebels' trip to Israel. See, I don't even know if I believe this. I think it's just to make Lauren Southern look better. And by the way, my Escape the Gas parody about her got taken down. So that's like my second strike. I don't even know if I can upload on Firestarter. I haven't checked, but whatever. Okay. Yes, he wanted her to make another video apparently, and she said no because she's like so principled and stuff. Even after their goal had already been met. He then paid Lauren hush money, which I think was to the tune of like 20 grand, maybe more. She's certainly not hurting for money traveling around the world. And I don't think that's on her own personal dime. I think she's an intelligence agent. Okay. I don't know how much money she's raising, but I don't think she's just a little freelancer over there really, really going after the hard facts and going after the untold story, being a super journalist. Yeah, right. That's why you wrote that book, the frickin' The Islam and Baby Boomers Ruin the World. Durr. Yeah, okay. And I feel as if they had to bring in Laura Loomer to make Lauren Southern look better. Because Laura Loomer is so obviously heinous and Jewish and just over-the-top troll goblin face that it actually makes Lauren Southern look more white. And I don't know if any of you have seen the oldest video of Lauren Southern ever that's on YouTube right now. It's really weird. I don't know if she was A, prepubescent, or B, had her boobs taped down, but she has no boobs and looks kind of boyish, but I don't know. I mean, I was a tomboy too, so. Weird freaking video, though. Like, really weird. I don't know how it made its way to YouTube. Like, I probably have weird homemade videos of me and my friends growing up being idiots, but, like, it wouldn't, unless someone was trying to, like, embarrass me, it would never find its way to YouTube. I don't get it. But yeah, it's out there. You can go check it out. So yeah, she's apparently given hush money not to speak badly of the network, which is something he has done with other employees, including Cowlin himself. Former reporters are supposed to say good things about the rebel. Ezra is so beautiful. He's so smart and loving. Yeah, they're supposed to say good things and that they're moving on to bigger things as independent journalists. Lauren did just that. Southern was quickly replaced by the reviled Laura Loomer, who is completely over-the-top Jewish. Actually, both Laura and her boss look like caricatures straight out of a National Socialist propaganda poster. Loomer is famous for having stormed the stage at an anti-Trump play, in which a look-alike of the president is assassinated, while former rebel reporter Jack Posobiec, who apparently is still working for the military in intelligence, like his information was released. There was a whole page exposing him, which got taken down. So, yeah, another operative, Posobiec, filmed from the audience and shouted that everyone booing Laura were all gerbils. Gerbils! And then Red Ice made a really funny, cool video about it. And we're like, look, guys, we're edgy. No, we're not like Jack Posobiec. We're the anti-Jew guy. Yeah, we're so dangerous. Before the rebel team pulled this stunt, Ezra Levant had already created a donation drive to free Laura. Oy vey, what a surprise. Oh my gosh, what a ridiculous picture this is. It's all of them. All of them just hanging out on an Israeli tank. And Faith Goldie appears to be a male-to-female transgender. And oh, what a coincidence that Goldie is right, or Golding, whatever it is, Shekel Gold, she's right there. She literally turns on her stream and 5 minutes later, oh, car accident, she turns right to see it. I mean, come on, give me a break. Like, she didn't know that was going to happen. I mean, it was all just a film set, basically, from some of the videos I've watched. It looks like they did two takes. And I remember, damn it, the first day this happened, right after this story came out and they released that picture of the black dude like floating in the air with a totally calm face, 20 pairs of shoes flying around everywhere. Like, I don't know where all these shoes came from. And then one dude's like just straight up upside down in the air and he hasn't even been hit by a car yet. And I remember all the signs were different. I was like, where did these solidarity signs come from? Those signs are not in the video. So it appears they did one for a photo op. And then another one, I don't know, maybe they did more, I don't even know. Maybe this was like on a freaking soundstage recorded years ago and they just did, I don't even know, guys. It's their psychological warfare is
that's it. Like, that is what's, we're at war. War isn't coming. We are at war. And it's psychological war. And it's time that we start educating people on how this psychological war is waged. Because that's the number one thing that is holding us back right now, is people not understanding what psychological warfare is and how it is used on us. But I think once people can see that, it really, the illusion disappears. But obviously there's going to be some people that no matter how much proof you show them, no matter how many freaking videos you show them, slowed down of impossible things, shoes flying everywhere, not possible, they'll just say, well, you know, whatever, it still happened. So, you know, it's like pick your battles, but okay. The Rebel has been able to see a great deal of success by covering news stories from around the world that the liberal left would either present in a very biased fashion or not touch at all. The Rebel would present a perspective that was not hostile to whites and would actually seemingly stick up for Western civilization in reports. However, like most conservative outlets, absolute love for Israel and the Jewish people was demanded, despite their obvious role in the destruction of white nations. Of course, the BDS movement was repeatedly slandered by Ezra and his cronies. Speaking of Ezra, very Jewish name. I don't know if any of you guys remember that woman, Laura something, the Australian woman who did that white genocide video. It was just like her sitting at her desk a few years ago. She was big into Bob Whitaker and used to broadcast and like live with, it was just weird. I had some friends that even met her in person, and her husband is a Jew named Ezra who admitted to being a Jew. Like, to my friends, they thought they were coming to some white gathering. So yeah, that put a weird spin on things. They thought, okay, we're not going to get together with them again, but just how strange, Ezra. Okay, the trip to Israel was perhaps even more biased than a Fox News fact-finding mission to report about our greatest ally. That's why I found it so funny and Jewy when they were asking for more money. Well, no, when they were asking, when they were crowdfunding to go to Israel. First of all, we all know that was some kind of state-sponsored trip where Israel said, like, come on, guys. Come on over, do some propaganda, make the Palestinians look evil, make us look good. All right, we'll be back for the last half hour.
Podcasting has a sister site where you can find insightful articles from the past and present, the latest in health and wellness, research, analysis of current events, profound poetry, amazing artwork, lots of videos and podcasts from other content creators, and so much more. We are in a struggle to awaken as many people as possible, put an end to our enslavement in this toxic culture, and create a future where we can be happy, healthy, and free. Go to renegadetribune.com, browse the great content, and do consider joining the crew in publishing your own original work.
See it there before my eyes, it's a sorry song, a sorry sight. You sunk your teeth, you're in me deep, I couldn't sing, I couldn't sleep. Beat your chest with both your hands, for all I was, for all I am, all I am.
Five, four, three, two, one.
And then all my thoughts solidified, sudden diamonds in my mind. I lit the fuse, so running high, so honey sweet, and sugar cane, sugar cane.
All right.
right, guys, welcome back to the last half hour. I just want to comment a little bit on some of the stuff being discussed in the chat. I want to say the ring finger thing is not a good tell, in my opinion. I know Urban said hers is longer than her pointer. Mine is like the exact same, or a little bit longer than my pointer. Definitely have birthed a child. I definitely menstruate. So, total evil woman over here. But yeah, it's not 100%. I actually think it does have to do with testosterone, though. I've noticed that Sophia Smallstorm told me hers is a little bit longer, too. Urban, I consider you a very strong woman, a very outspoken person. So I don't know if it's necessarily testosterone, but I've noticed a correlation between women that report this and women that are very outspoken. And I hate like putting it into a gender, like male or female traits, but just more, I don't know, like warrior women. I don't know. So whatever, take that for what it's worth. But this tranny thing has really got me like freaked out. A good tranny transvestigation channel, Vicky S. I know she is a listener of Renegade from time to time. She contributes in the comment section. She does some really good videos, and you know, some of them I go like, oh really, Vicky, come on girl, not everybody's a tranny. And then I watch it and I'm thinking, damn, you know, she's got a point. I think that other people are better at like cluing into this stuff. For me, sometimes I can't see it, sometimes I can, but for me, when it's pointed out, then I can start to see it. But then sometimes, you know, I've grown up around female friends, you know, like I've seen lots of friends like naked, not in gross situations, but you know what I mean? And some females really do have a male kind of shape to their body. And some of them even do appear to have this Adonis belt kind of thing going on. So, it's weird. It's never 100%, but that's part of the psychological warfare is that like, I was thinking about it the other night when my son's older and, you know, he wants to start dating. I'm going to seriously have to sit down and be like, this is how you determine if it's a tranny or not, son, or for a daughter. This is how you determine it's, you know, for female to male, it's a little bit easier because, oh gosh, I really didn't want to get into this, but I don't know what all these neo-vaginas and neo-penises look like. I'm pretty sure that the female to male can't just pop an erection. Like, I don't know what they have. I think they have implants and weird stuff that they can pump up. I don't know. I don't even want to know. But it'd be pretty obvious, like, oh, you have to pump your penis up. Okay, you're a tranny. But with the females, I don't know what the neo-vaginas look like. I don't know if they look real or not, but you know, some people might not even notice. Like, that's what's scary. And I, you know, a lot of them don't tell. So, that's, you know, like, this is just a crazy world that I have to explain to my son what trannies are. Not only do I have to explain to him what they are, I have to prepare him for how to deal with them. And to teach him, I mean, we've already gone over the vampires. He knows about the vampires. He knows that he needs to stay away from them and that, you know, don't talk to strangers. And, you know, mom and dad are trying to get rid of the vampires, the evil people. Well, they're not people, the evil demonic entities that are here destroying things. And goodness will prevail and all that. But, like, how do you even begin to explain to your child? Okay, well, when you bring over your girlfriend, you know, mom and dad are going to try and do a transvestigation. Make sure you're not getting, you know, lied to by a tranny. Obviously, I would trust my son's instincts, but you know what I'm saying? It's really freaking weird. It's a weird world. It's very sick. You know, these Victoria's Secret models, I would not be surprised if every single freaking one of them is a tranny, or most of them, because I just remember growing up and thinking, why can't I look like that? Like, no matter what I do, I will always have these big hips. I will always have my big butt, and like, those are things that I just don't want. I want to have a washboard stomach with like no fat on it, so I can't even menstruate. It'd be super sweet. So just that's screwed with us growing up, you know, thinking like, and still to this day, I have to like really, it's weird. Body image is so weird. It's something that I struggled with for a while. And still to this day, I'll have to look in the mirror and I can change the way I view myself. It's weird. And I've noticed that this is something I did all through my youth that I've had to deprogram myself from doing. When I look in the mirror, I automatically go to like my thighs and the things that I don't like. And I'm not even taking in my whole figure. It's like I'm hyper-focusing on this part of my body that I hate. And then if I take a step back and look at my whole self, I'm like, no, you are great. You look great. You're healthy. Like, you're a woman. You're going to have curves. That's normal. And it's really screwed with us young, with us ladies, with us guys. Well, with us guys. With other guys. It's screwed with everybody. And it's sad to see now. It's gotten even worse with all these young ladies trying to do the thigh gap thing, or they're going to the other extreme of getting like butt implants and just being fat and like just the, so it's really screwed with me. And some, a telltale sign that really helped me personally be able to find out if it's a tranny or not is the distribution of the fat on the hips or where the hips fall. For example, in these tranny guys, the hips are above the pubic area. Now with a woman, the widest part of our body is going to be, I'm like standing up. It's like right where our hip bone is, but it's right kind of almost in line and below the pubic area. So that's the real like curvature of a woman. It's curving much lower. The hips are curving much lower. But on a tranny, they're going to disguise it by wearing high-waisted outfits. Taylor Swift does this a lot. Most all trannies do it. They also do these poses, you know, a lot of hands on the hips things, trying to contort their body to give the illusion that they actually have female curvature when they do not. But very sad, very creepy. Victoria's Secret fashion show is really frickin' weird. And yeah, what a cancer. Like, just even go, I had to go to the mall the other day, to like return something that someone gave me and exchange it. I never go to the mall, but I had my son with me and we're walking by Victoria's Secret and I'm just like, ugh, like what the hell? I even remember being a little girl and going to the mall with my grandparents and like my grandma would take me into Victoria's Secret to buy me a lotion or a freaking fake fragrance crap, you know, like body spray or something. And my grandpa would wait outside, you know, because it was like really, ooh, risque. I just felt very, like, it was all just very inappropriate. And it just grosses me out. There's nothing wrong with the female figure or nudity. You know, it'd be different if there were beautiful nude statues of women and men around. Like, I would be totally cool with that. I think the human body is beautiful in its healthy state. But yeah, like trannies with big fake plastic boobs and no fat on their body, like none at all, that really freaks me out. And it's so hard raising a child in this. Like even the other day, I went to go get my eyebrows threaded. It's basically just another way of shaping your eyebrows besides waxing them. It's better for you and it lasts longer. And it's usually done by like Indian people. So went to this Indian salon to get it done and, I have no issues with the people there. They're totally cool, but they play like Indian music videos. And in one of them, there was like this makeout scene that was pretty, you know, pretty intense for India. I don't think they really ever showed that kind of stuff, in their music videos, but my son just like instinctively looked away. Like he knew like, This is not, why am I seeing this? You know, like he just knew. And I remember being a child and, you know, like sex scenes would come on, movies that I would be watching with my parents and I would just be mortified. Like I had to leave the room, you know, and the fact that my parents weren't reacting to it made me even more uncomfortable. I remember when I first got out of that program, the brainwashing thing, and was back in the real world, someone at school suggested we watch Anchorman. And I like rented it and watched it with my parents because I had no friends. And I remember just being mortified and I just walked out of the room. I was like, I can't, this is disgusting. And that's just all too common. This stuff is everywhere. I mean, even driving down the highway, there's freaking two billboards for sex shops, like within 10 feet of each other. And I have to see them all the time. One of them is a couple like making out in bed, which I guess isn't that bad, but like why the hell does that need to be on the frickin' highway while I'm driving down the highway? Another one of them is just a woman in like red heels with sparkles or something, but it's still just so trashy and so freaking gross, and I just hate it. I want to freaking volcano all this shit. I want to be able to raise my son in a place that's not so sick. And like, yeah, I'm sheltering him from it as much as I can, but can't live in a bubble. And just really pisses me off. So, okay. In the last 20 minutes here, I just want to read an article from yournewswire.com. Reporter who exposed BBC pedophilia cover-up found dead. Okay. Liz McKeon, the former British investigative reporter who exposed Jimmy Savile and the culture of pedophile protection at the BBC, has been found dead. She was 52. McKeon worked at the BBC until she quit in 2013 after executives decided to ban her groundbreaking and brave investigation into predatory pedophile Jimmy Savile in order to protect him and other pedophiles. Dismissed by the establishment as mad and dangerous, McKeon was finally vindicated when the truth about Savile's pedophilia eventually came out in 2012, a full year after McKeon first tried to bring his notorious crimes to light. The BBC, who blocked her groundbreaking investigation from airing and spent the next few years attempting to destroy her reputation and reporting that she died of, quote, complications from a stroke, yeah, at 52, right? Acknowledging her life was under threat during the time she was investigating Savile and BBC elites, McKeon said her conscience left her no option but to pursue the truth and expose the culture of pedophilia. The mother of two children believed it was her duty. Wow, this woman needs to get back in the kitchen, right? Stop freaking, doing the right thing and speaking up because everybody else is too fucking cowardly to do it. Okay. When it became public that the BBC News blocked her investigation from airing, she admitted on Panorama, quote, I was very unhappy the story didn't run because I felt we'd spoken to people who collectively deserved to be heard, and they weren't heard. I thought that that was a failure. I felt we had a responsibility towards them. We got them to talk to us, but above all, we did believe them. And so then, for their stories not to be heard, I felt very bad about that. I felt very much that I'd let them down. Liz McKeon is the second high-profile BBC journalist to die in suspicious circumstances after attempting to expose the truth about the pedophile ring operating in the upper reaches of the establishment. Now, I haven't finished this, but what if, I mean, I'm just saying what if, I'm not saying this woman never died, but what if this is just a psyop to get us afraid of speaking out? I mean, I don't deny that they kill people, but... You know, what a great way, even if this death was real, what a great way to send a message. Don't tell on us. We'll kill you. Okay. All right. Jill Dando, former Crime Watch host, also tried to alert her bosses to the pedophile ring at the BBC, warning that, quote, big name stars were implicated. Jill Dando, who was 37, was shot dead on April 26th, 1999, on the doorstep of her West London home in a crime that still remains unsolved. Before she died, Dando had passed a file to a senior management in the mid-1990s, proving that big name BBC stars, including Savile, were involved in a pedophile ring, but senior management chose to cover up the child abuse rather than organize and investigate. No one wanted to know when Dando raised concerns about the alleged ring and other sexual abuse claims at the BBC, according to a former colleague and friend. I don't recall the names of all the stars now and don't want to implicate anyone, but Jill said they were surprisingly big names. I think she was quite shocked when told about images of children and that information on how to join this horrible pedophile ring was freely available. Jill said others had complained to her about sexual matters and that some female workmates also claimed they had been groped or assaulted. Nothing had been done and there seemed to be a policy of turning a blind eye. The former colleague said female BBC staff confided in Jill, one of the best-known TV faces of the day after fronting primetime shows including Holiday and the 6 o'clock news as well as Crime Watch. The source said, I think it was in the mid-1990s, she was seen as the face of the BBC and a magnet for women with problems. So, there you have it. Apparently, Liz McKeon is dead. Interesting looking woman. I can't tell if she has a butch haircut or if her hair's back, but she's dressed like a man. So, there's that. I don't know. I don't know if this is real. I don't know if it's a psyop, but either way, the message is clear. Don't expose us. Well, sorry, I can't freaking help it. I have no other freaking choice at this point but to expose you sick bastards. So we've got about 15 minutes left. I guess I could do the herb of the week since I have it queued up here. And this is something that I am going to be tincturing. It's going to be part of a Mother's Milk Galactagage tincture, which is for nursing mothers who want to increase their milk supply. It really works, by the way. I drank it in tea form, this blend that includes stinging nettle, the herb of the week, and it really does work. So a tincture is a lot easier. Instead of brewing a cup of tea, you just put a couple drops in your water, hot water, cold water, whatever. You don't even need water. You can put it under your tongue, but it's kind of an intense taste, so you might want to water it down. All right, we are going to be doing stinging nettle for our herb of the week. Stinging nettle is something that I grew up with personally in Ireland. I used to go to Ireland every year and they had tons of nettles there and they do sting. You know, they kind of give you like little itchy spots on your skin, but you can eat them and consume them and tincture them and they're very, very helpful. Okay. Have you ever walked by a seemingly harmless plant and accidentally brushed up against it only to feel a slight stinging or prickly pain? Chances are you have, and you very well may have come in contact with a stinging nettle plant. While you may curse the plant for the temporary discomfort, stinging nettle is actually a beneficial perennial that treats several conditions. Perhaps its most popular use is turning the leaves into stinging nettle tea, which is a common natural allergy relief remedy. It's also proven to benefit skin, bone, and urinary health as well. So how can this plant that seems like something to stay away from at first contact actually become a medicinal go-to? Let's find out. All right, so what is stinging nettle? It is also called Urtica dioica. It's a perennial flowering plant that has been used medicinally for ages, dating back as far as ancient Greece. Today, stinging nettle can be found all over the world, but its origins are in the colder regions of Europe and Asia. The plant usually grows between 2 to 4 feet high and blooms from June to September. It grows best in nitrogen-rich soil, which, by the way, if you're composting, your coffee grounds are apparently a great source of nitrogen. All right, it has heart-shaped leaves and produces yellow or pink flowers. While best known for the stinging reaction that occurs when the skin comes into contact with the fine hairs located on its leaves and stems, when processed and used medicinally, stinging nettle has a number of helpful health benefits. According to the Department of Dermatology at Penn State University College of Medicine, most stinging nettle products are made from the stem and leaves, but the roots also have pharmacological qualities. The herb has anti-inflammatory qualities and can affect treatment of many health issues. The above-ground parts have typically aided in allergy relief and other breathing-related problems. The roots were able to provide relief for urinary disorders and enlarged prostate. And I think that's kind of interesting. I forget the type of medicine it's called, but I mentioned it on one of the shows how they believe that with any plant, you know, the top of the plant is going to be good for your head. The bottom of the plant is going to be good for things that are more towards the bottom of your body. So I think that's interesting that this seems to apply to the way that the stinging nettle is used. All right. Five benefits of stinging nettle. Despite its reputation for pain, it is used to help a number of ailments. According to the University of Maryland's Medical Center, the plant has been used most commonly throughout history as a diuretic and for treating painful muscle and joints, eczema, arthritis, gout, and anemia. Today, it's used primarily to treat urinary issues as well as allergies and joint pain. The most proven health benefits are the following. Benign prostatic hyperplasia, BPH, and urinary issues. Usually these are caused by an enlarged prostate. Also, saw palmetto is used with prostate problems. But I'd suggest if you're having prostate problems to look at your diet. That would be the number one change to make. All right. Osteoarthritis and joint pain. Arthritis sufferers often experience joint pain, typically in the hands and knees, hips, and spine. Pardon me, guys. I'm all out of anything to drink, and I keep getting this tickle in my throat. So, sorry I keep coughing, but I'm going to have to get through this next, 10 or so minutes without anything to drink. All right. Hay fever can be used for hay fever. Histamine production in the body creates the adverse reactions related to allergies. Allergies cause uncomfortable congestion, sneezing, itching, and more. Stinging nettle's anti-inflammatory qualities affect a number of key receptors and enzymes in allergic reactions, preventing hay fever symptoms if taken when they appear. That's good to know. All right. Yes, you can use it in capsules and tablets topically. You can cook it. Nettle tea. It looks like they even juiced it. Whoa, pretty crazy. All right. You can also, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Kyle just rescued me with some water. You rock. Thanks, Kyle. I always got my back. All right, bleeding. It can be used for certain bleeding conditions. Let's see. It can help reduce bleeding during surgery. The product called Encafarid Blood Stopper is made up of alpina, licorice, thyme, common grapevine, and stinging nettle, and has also shown evidence of reducing bleeding after dental surgery. Interesting. I wonder if this could be given as a tincture for postpartum hemorrhage. Click into it. I know shepherd's purse is the number one herb for postpartum hemorrhage, but you don't want to give yourself or someone else shepherd's purse until the placenta has been passed, and you want to inspect that every single part of the placenta has left, because if a piece gets left behind, an infection could occur. And what the shepherd's purse is doing is it's causing the uterus to clamp down, which is obviously going to stop breathing. But if you need to pass more pieces of the placenta, which honestly it shouldn't be in pieces, that's not a good sign, but you know, it's just good to inspect it and make sure before you take it. I did personally take some after I gave birth. I wasn't hemorrhaging, but I was losing more blood than I liked. I am a redhead, and apparently, well, I'm not a redhead, but I have reddish hair, and apparently we bleed more or something. And that was true for me. Okay. Can be used for eczema. Eczema, again, I would say, you know, probably look at your diet, because that's usually a, you know, something going on in the gut that is being manifested on your skin. So it's also, there's not a lot of research into these things that it supposedly helps with, but I know for personal use, it does promote lactation, can stimulate hair growth, help control blood sugar, reduce bleeding. Connected to gingivitis. Again, if you have gingivitis, you got bigger issues than freaking gingivitis. Like, that's not good. You got diet issues or dental care issues. I don't know. Got to stop using that glycerin toothpaste. Yeah. Tooth powder is awesome. All right. Can also treat disorders of the kidneys and urinary tract. Can prevent and treat diarrhea, decrease menstrual flow, provide asthma relief, heal wounds, treat hemorrhoids, stimulate contractions in pregnant women. I would say never, ever, ever take anything to induce labor, even if it's herbal. You don't need it. You don't freaking need it. And it's usually just going to make you feel like crap. So it's like, okay, just, you know, just wait. I know it sucks. I know you're like totally ready to have a baby in those last days. You're like, get it out of me. I get it. But I think a lot of this stuff, even if it's herbal, you know, people think it's benign. Oh, it's herbal. I'll just take some black and blue cohosh. And I almost, like, I bought those things while I was pregnant thinking, oh, maybe I'll use them. And then the more research I did, I thought, why the hell did I buy this crap? Or, like, why would I ever take this? I'm going to let my baby decide when it's time. I'm not going to induce anything. And he decided when it was time, and he came out, so everything worked fine. All right, it can also treat insect bites, treat anemia, and blah blah blah. So that is pretty much it for my show for tonight. I know I have a few minutes left, so I guess I can talk to you about what I have planned for the week. Planning on getting to work on this opium documentary, and like I said, we're going to do it in parts, so I won't get so bogged down, and I'll be able to kind of bounce around from project to project. We were discussing even, you know, once we get part one and two out, maybe going back to the big picture, doing another part on that. That way we can just kind of go from project to project and not, you know, have to like stay on one thing for several months. And that's usually when I just start to get like in a bad space. Because it's very monotonous dealing with the same material over and over again, especially when it's pretty dark material. So I really did feel like that affected me in the last run, you know, just hearing this stuff over and over again every day. Probably desensitized me in a way, which is good, but I don't know. For my mental health, I need to be able to focus on other things and not just like the deepest, darkest, terrible things that are going on that no one wants to know about, but you have to tell them about those things. I don't always want to have to focus on those. So also something that I'm trying to be cognizant of and trying to push myself to do is what I like to call self-care. And, you know, for a while there, I was feeling guilty that if I had free time, you know, I wasn't being productive. Or, you know, if I was just like, if I just wanted to lay down in bed and watch some YouTube videos, I was feeling really guilty about it and feeling like I need to be doing something 24/7, just something productive at all times of the day. There's no time to waste. But then I realized that it's not being lazy. It's self-care. It's times that I just need to disconnect or just kind of unwind and not really think of too much of anything or not put my energy out. Because what I do is I go so hard, like a little hummingbird, like go hard, go hard, go hard. And then I run out of steam. And that's when I have these breakdowns where I'm just like, I can't do this anymore. I can't, you know, I just like get so overwhelmed. So, you know, I'm having to make a conscious decision to be selfish as I, you know, like, because to me, I think it's silly. Oh, I shouldn't need all this time. But I do. We all do. We all need to do self-care. And I hope maybe if you look at it like self-care instead of, killing time, wasting time, being lazy, being selfish, it just sounds a lot nicer. Self-care. I just like that. So that's what I'm going to call it. If I need to go take a bubble bath with some nice, you know, bath salts and candles or something and just kind of be by myself for a little while, I know that Kyle's got my back. He'll be like, go for it. Go have fun, you know? But for me, I'm always feeling like, I don't know, like I can't do that. Or and it's not even like I don't think I can take a bath. Like, that's not it. But I think you guys know what I mean. You know, even taking an hour a day to do yoga. Just do something for yourself every day. It's important. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next week. And I love you all. Good night. To make love where there was love.
YouTube, show it me again.
After getting censored relentlessly on YouTube, with video after video and channel after channel getting taken down, we have decided to try a different approach.
We now have RenegadeVids.com, which features all the documentaries, parodies, compilations, sketches, and video discussions that are simply too accurate for the kosher censors.
There are now many hours worth of hard-hitting videos waiting for you to watch and share. So get on over to RenegadeVids.com.
You sold your soul down the river. Who lights up?